You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, a review into the electoral system in Aotearoa was released. The report, titled Independent Electoral Review, seeks to make the electoral system clearer, fairer and more accessible for current and future generations. Associate Professor Grant Duncan teaches politics at Massey University, and he highlighted the major changes the review is suggesting. I began by asking him to discuss the recommendation to change the election from every 3 years to every four.
Well, yes, it's quite a major change, really, but New Zealand is a little bit of an outlier, not totally alone, but it's unusual for a country to have a three-year maximum parliamentary term. The case in favour of having that is on the grounds of accountability, because we don't have, for instance, an upper house, we don't have a written constitution. Many people feel that we should have regular accountability to the people to keep governments to account for their performance, and, you know, to constantly be, not constantly, but at least every 3 years, be bringing the matter regularly back to the people for their judgment. The downside of the shorter term is, I guess, in terms of the effectiveness of parliaments getting legislation through. The part of the problem is that every election means a lot of downtime, because governments need to customarily stop making important decisions as an election is approaching. Public servants really start to have to, you know, pull back in terms of the kinds of things they can recommend or the kind of work that they can do as the election's approaching. And then, of course, there's some downtime afterwards. You know, elections normally happen at the end of the year, and then Christmas comes and a lot of people go on holiday. So it takes a while for the new government to get sworn in, if there's a change of government especially, get their feet under the table and start to get their program up and running. And so that means, all in all, you know, we have more or less, I mean, it's probably a rough estimate, but, you know, a third of Parliament's time is perhaps downtime, or at least time when less is going to be happening. We could reduce that downtime from, say, one third to one quarter if we had a four-year term.
And this isn't the first time that this idea has been floated. There have been some, there's been a history of this idea of changing it from 3 to 4 years. Could you tell us a little bit about when the last time this idea was spoken about?
Well, it was raised in 1986 by the Royal Commission on the Electoral System back then, and that's the process that led to our MMP system. And there's been two public referendums in the past, one in 1967 and another one in 1990, and on both occasions the voters rejected the change to a four-year term by about a two-thirds majority. So it has been put to the people in the past, and the people have rejected it. The change could also, by law, be made in Parliament, however, but the entrenchment clause in the Electoral Act means that if Parliament were to make the change by an amendment to the Electoral Act, that would require a 75% majority in the House. And I wouldn't be terribly confident, but I would think that it's possible that there would be a 75% majority in the House to make that change. But I think politically, New Zealanders would expect there to be a referendum on this question.
And do we have any idea about what the public sentiment is saying now in 2023 around changing the terms?
Yeah, this is the thing in general about referendums. And I think, you know, we should have learned this, for example, from the Change the Flag referendum, that generally don't have a referendum unless you can see that there's a real need for it and a groundswell of public opinion one way or the other. So the referendum on euthanasia, for instance, went through. The one on legalisation of cannabis didn't. But on both of those occasions, I think, you know, there was a sense that this was a matter that did need to go to the people. I don't have a sense that, you know, people really want to have a referendum on this question. And under those circumstances, what happens is that, you know, a certain cynicism sets in. People ask, why are you asking us this? don't we have more important things to think about? And people start to wonder whether politicians have some kind of vested interest in doing this. And that tends to generate negative public opinion. And so whilst I think that the interim report's recommendation isn't a bad one, I'm not sure that it really would be a great idea to put the question to the country in a referendum, because my guess would be that the referendum would fail and we'd stick with 3 years.
And as mentioned at the start, there are a number of other changes. What else caught your interest in this, and what would you like to see be implemented from their suggestions?
Well, there's a whole raft of things, actually. It's a very comprehensive review, but some of the highlights, so to speak, that I think might interest some of your listeners would be lowering the voting age to 16. And I think that's got quite a bit of support, particularly I think, from left-wing parties, because arguably the younger voters will be more likely to vote Green or Labour than with the right-wing parties. So, but on the other hand, I think there's just a general question as to the eligibility and the ability of younger people to be able to vote. Also, there's, you know, if you lower the voting age, there is a, you know, some evidence that it does in the long run improve voter turnout overall, because you're able to get to young people when they're still at school, when they're still at home. They're not changing address until maybe a little bit later, and that helps to make sure that they get registered. You can, you know, use the schools to get them on the electoral roll first of all, and that just makes it that little bit more likely that young people are going to vote. So that's one really interesting one. There's some important recommendations about the thresholds for gaining seats in Parliament. Now, at the moment, you can a party can get seats in the House either by winning at least one local electorate seat, or by their party getting 5% in the party vote. The independent review is suggesting that the party vote threshold get lowered from 5% to 3.5%. And so that would make it a little bit easier for new parties entering into the game to get over that threshold and get seats in the House. It would also, I guess, create a little bit of a safety buffer for parties like the Greens, which sometimes go perilously close to that 5% threshold. Also, and this is another important one too, is that at the moment, if a party wins one electorate seat, they also get their proportionate share of party votes, even if they haven't reached the 5% threshold. So that's the so-called coattailing rule. And the interim review is recommending abolishing that coattailing rule. And that would, in past elections, have affected quite a number of small parties who benefited from that. You know, they win one electorate seat, and then maybe they bring in one or two other or more sometimes MPs on the list as well, even though they didn't get to 5% of the party vote. So, and that's affected small parties on both the left and the right. So the Māori Party, for example, has benefited from the coattailing rule, for instance. And I guess another really interesting one is allowing all prisoners to vote. That's quite a controversial one. And at the moment, the present government had reinstated the right of prisoners to vote within 3 years if their sentence of imprisonment was less than 3 years. But this would allow all prisoners to vote by this recommendation. And, you know, there's two quite strong differing opinions. I've heard people grumpily say, well, look, people who've committed a crime and been imprisoned have sort of stepped outside of society, as I've heard people put it, and therefore somehow they should lose the right to vote as well as lose their liberty. Other people say that this is a way of helping people to maintain a sense of connection and responsibility for what goes on in the real world, and, you know, and therefore perhaps helps with prisoner rehabilitation later on. And also because of the overrepresentation of Māori in prison, this particular provision does disproportionately affect Māori as well.
That was Associate Professor Grant Duncan on the Independent Electoral Review. Submissions on the review are open to the public until the 17th of July. You can have your say by visiting electoralreview.gov.nz.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.